The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
My next guest has garnered millions of fans for her detective fiction series of novels featuring Maeve Kerrigan and D.I. Josh Derwent. Her new novel, which hits the bookshops in a few days' time, steps away from Maeve's world. Instead, it's a standalone novel based in the rugged landscape of Mayo and the streets of Dublin, it has to be said. It's called Everything She Didn't Say, and it begins with a murder scene and a dead body in the suitably named Shadow House. The novel's author, and full disclosure, my first cousin, Jane Casey, joins me on the line from London. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, all your fans in News Talk want me to ask you, how is Maeve? How is Josh?
Oh, they are very well. I'm nearly finished writing next year's book, which is back to Maeve. So nobody needs to worry. Like, I've taken a bit of friendly fire about not writing a Maeve book this year, but don't worry, there's one coming next year.
Now, when did this book form in your imagination, the latest book, Everything She Didn't Say?
It actually was during the pandemic, weirdly. I think just because I was thinking about being in places that I loved and being in County Mayo and just that kind of setting, I thought I really want to write something set there. It's been kind of gestating for a long time, and just waiting for the right moment to write it has been a matter of patience.
And the question of writing a book about your native Ireland, I mean, did that put extra pressure on you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I was terrified. And like, I still am. I'm really worried that people will kind of read it and not feel that it's true to life. But that was something that I was really careful about when I was writing it.
What I found interesting about the book is that you don't kind of make concessions in outlining to people, you know, this is Mayo, this is the Garda Síochána. Well, that is the Irish police force. You call them the Guards or the Gardaí, and you don't make an apology or an explanation for that. You use words like Egypt, colloquial words, skull for school, for example. And, you know, you expect your reader to be intelligent enough to cop on quickly.
That's it. I mean, well, the world's knowledge is in our pockets these days, so anybody can look up anything that they don't find familiar. But I also think, like, if you read a Scandinavian novel, they use kind of the language of the place, and it's part of the culture. And I just really wanted it to feel authentic and not like I was explaining too much.
Now, how much do you want to tell us about the plot? Because there are a number of female characters, and there are obviously the Gardaí, both male and female, featured principally two males.
That's right. It's a twisty plot, and it is difficult to talk about without spoilers. So all I would say is it begins with two male Garda detectives turning up in very remote part of North Mayo, and they're there to interview a woman who's turned up covered in blood, but she has no injuries. And she says to them that she has been staying in a cottage with her best friend, and the best friend has disappeared. But that is, of course, not the full story.
Not the full story. I don't know whether you ever saw the movie, the Kurosawa movie Rashomon, in your college days in Oxford or whatever, where you have a murder plot, I think it is, and the different characters give their narrative of what happened in the murder, but each one is utterly different from the other.
That's right. And you get a new perspective as you're going along. That's very much what this book does, I think. I sort of want readers to feel like they're investigating it with the guards. Like, every little bit of information kind of changes the picture that you're kind of making up in your mind of what happened and who was there even. So, that's the idea.
Now, you're two detectives. One of them is different. He's not what you typically expect from a guard, and the other very much is. So the formation of those two individuals.
Well, I think like the best thing for a fictional couple is for them to be quite different. Now, they're a working couple, they're colleagues, but they have this distrust of one another. One of them is from a very kind of wealthy background and very well educated, very intellectual, and has kind of gone against his family to go and become a guard. And the other one is sort of had a pretty rough upbringing and has also gone against his kind of upbringing to become a guard. Like, he's from inner city Dublin, and he is, you know, he's taken that path. But I think they call it the horseshoe theory, where like you start off in very different places, but then you come closer together. Like, because you're so different, you actually have much more in common than you think. So they're bromance, if you like, is a huge part of the book, and them kind of learning to trust one another and to understand each other was really fun to write.
Now, the question of the two of them, Ben Butler being the posh one, if you like, and Liam being the other one from inner city Dublin. Where did he grow up? At Fatima Mansions or whatever? I think that's where it was, because I've read the book over the last a week or so, and I've really, really enjoyed it. But I'm thinking of that, you know, someone, a British reader, for example, looking at Fatima Mansions, and you're thinking of those blocks in Kensington, which are called mansions, you know, so-and-so mansions. So they look up Fatima Mansions and they will get a different story.
They surely will. Yeah, I think I hope there's just enough context there for people to kind of pick up on it and to understand it. But I think, like, again, you know, any Irish reader is going to read it and know exactly who they are. Like, they'll have a sense of them immediately. And that's sort of what I was thinking of.
Now, you probably don't know this yet, but I suspect, just reading the book, that these two characters may have another outing.
Yeah, I'm very bad at writing standalones, it turns out. I'm always interested in the characters, and I'm never really finished with them when I get to the end of the book. So I think there will be a follow-up probably the year after next.
Now, your writing of Mayo, I mean, it is quite obvious that you love the place. And yet, I mean, I know that you were brought up in Dublin, Castlenock, went to Oxford and all the rest of it. That love of Mayo, where does it come from?
So my mother grew up in Mayo, and we never had, you know, we didn't have a house there or anything, but we used to go down and see it, and it was her place that she was happiest. So I think part of it is writing about a place that meant a lot to kind of the family and to her in particular. When I was thinking of her, like, she was such a perfectionist, and every time I wrote down like the name of a flower, I'd have to go and check that it would be in season at the time that I'm writing about, because she would have been the first person to pick up on it and say, well, you'd never get bog cotton at that time of year, Jane, you know. So I had to try and make sure it was bang on.
And is there anything else of your late mother in any of the characters?
Oh, I mean, I think there probably is. Like, I think her kind of love of, you know, poetry and literature, and it was nice for me to write a character like Ben Butler, because he is somebody who kind of thinks in poetical terms, and I don't get to do that very often in crime fiction. Like, to, you know, you tend to be a bit more down to earth, and yeah, I think some of that comes from her, definitely, but also from my father, who was a great man for a poem and would quote, like, consistently. So I think there's probably something from both of them in the book.
Now, I was reading something from you, which you said about, you know, Maeve Kerrigan is what could be loosely called a plastic Paddy, you know, second generation Irish, very much Irish in her soul, but born in London and brought up in London. And you feel that's an underrepresented group, really, in popular culture.
Oh, very much so. Like, it's a huge number of people who have Irish heritage who have grown up in the UK and have, and I was actually talking to somebody this morning about it online, like that she'd had this exact experience of having Irish parents and being the English cousins when they come over to Ireland, even though, like, they're as Irish as their cousins are, but they are the English cousins.
Well, Jane, if people want to meet you, I know you're going to be appearing in the West Cork Literary Festival on Tuesday. On Thursday in Dublin at 1 Wilmin Lane, in conversation with Catherine Ryan. And then you conclude your whirlwind tour of Ireland in Kenny's Bookshop in Galway on Friday night. So, Jane,
that's right.
Thank you very much for joining us. That's all we've time for today. By the way, that new book from Jane is called Everything She Didn't Say.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.